The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. To find out how to know God personally, go to knowgod.org, K-N-O-W, knowgod.org.
Hey, would you do me a favor? Share this message with someone who needs to hear it. When Jesus rose again from the dead, he defeated death.
That defeat wasn't a one-time event. Pastor Greg Laurie explains it stretches all the way into the present.
Something significant happened when Jesus rose again from that grave, and that something is we don't have to be afraid of death. Death died when Christ rose. Listen, what death did to Jesus is nothing compared to what Jesus did to death.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Benjamin Franklin is credited with saying there are only two sure things in this life, death and taxes. Well, we can't do much about our tax bill, but we'll see death isn't the sure thing old Ben thought it was. Glad you're along today for a new beginning, as Pastor Greg Laurie brings a study to help prepare our hearts for Easter this Sunday. We'll see Easter is a celebration of Christ's resurrection, but it's also a celebration that death no longer has its hold on us.
The title of my message is The Death of Death. The Death of Death. I heard a Sunday school teacher had been telling her class about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, how he was brought back from the grave again. And then she asked her kids, what do you think the first words of Jesus were when he rose again from the dead? A little girl shot her hand up and the teacher said, okay, what were the first words of Jesus after he was resurrected? And she said, Jesus came out and said, ta-da! Pretty good answer. I don't know if that's in the Bible, but I like it. But listen to this. When Jesus died on the cross, he conquered sin. When Jesus rose again from the dead, he defeated death. Let me say that again. When he died on the cross, he conquered sin. But when he rose again from the dead, he defeated death. And that is not a topic we're usually comfortable discussing. Death. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to think about it. But we need to think about it. I read an interview that was done with actor Bradley Cooper a while ago. He, of course, directed and starred in the film A Star Is Born, and he was reflecting on his own father's death. And Cooper said it caused him to address his own mortality. He was quoted to say, all right, I'm going to die too. So here it is. It's not in a book. It's not in a movie. It's not in a story that was told to me. It's not driving by an accident or watching it on TV. It's someone you love dying in front of you. And then I said, okay, this is death, and it's going to happen to me one day, end quote. That's true. Even Bradley Cooper will die. Every man will die. Every woman will die. The stats on death are very impressive. One out of every one persons will die. Okay, so we have to deal with that head on. But having said that, something significant happened when Jesus rose again from that grave. And that something is we don't have to be afraid of death. It's not that we look forward to it. A Christian doesn't get up in the morning and say, I hope I die today. That would just be so awesome. No, and I mean, I think a Christian loves life more than anybody else, but we don't have to be afraid of death. And I'll tell you what, time passes so quickly. You know, as you get older, especially, you know, I talked to a girl the other day. She's a barista. She was making me coffee, and she said, oh, I'm getting so old. I said, how old are you? She said, I'm in my 20s. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. She says, time is passing so quickly. I said, you just wait. Because, man, it seems to go into turbo speed when you get a little bit older. And, you know, my generation, the baby boomers, the eternally young generation, we've gone from acid rock to acid reflux, you know? Here's the thing. If you're 66, you're no longer allowed to shop at Forever 21. Can we just let's agree on this thing together. I was filling out something the other day, and you have to put your birth date on it, and so you start scrolling. I got a cramp in my finger from scrolling. Can I just type in my birth date? I have to scroll. It's almost like an act of humiliation. You scroll, scroll, scroll. Yeah, but that's what happens. And, you know, I think it's a thing that we need to recognize, that time is passing quickly, and we want to be ready for that day when it comes. And, maybe you can improve the quality of your life, but the quantity of your life is up to God. Jesus said, who of you by worrying can add one moment to your life? So you can eat all the kale you want and all the tofu you want, and maybe you'll feel a little bit better, and maybe you won't. I'm not really sure. But I read about a lady who actually lived to be 105 years old. Her name is Pearl Cantrell. She lived in Texas. She had 7 children. So they asked Pearl Cantrell, what is the secret of your longevity to live to 105? She said, it's very simple. Every day I eat bacon. Wow. Bacon. I like Pearl Cantrell. Reminds me of a conversation I had with my granddaughter Allie the other day. She announced that she is now a vegan while she was eating eggs and sausage. I said, Allie, you can't be a vegan if you eat eggs and sausage. She said, well, Papa, I just like the meat from the pig. I understand. She'll probably live to be 105 as well. But today is Easter, and we come to the topic of death head on, and I have an announcement to make. Death died when Christ rose. In fact, Easter was the day that death died, and because Jesus died, I as a Christian will never die. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. You say, now, Greg, are you delusional? What do you mean never die? People die. Oh, I know. I know it well. My mother has gone on to heaven. My father who adopted me, my son, has been in heaven now 10 years. In fact, yesterday we put flowers on his grave. I'm very familiar with death. I've had a friend of mine die this last week, and, you know, I see it all the time. But when I say death, I don't mean that I'm denying the fact that our body stops functioning and we go into the ground. But what I am saying is simply this, is that our soul lives on in another place, and one day our bodies will be resurrected from the grave. That's all because of Jesus dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. And that is why I say death died when Christ rose. Listen, what death did to Jesus is nothing compared to what Jesus did to death. So let's go back in our imaginations for a moment. 2,000 years. Let's try to put ourselves in the shoes of those first century disciples, because they were devastated. They were discouraged. They were downhearted. Their world as they knew it ended overnight when their Lord, their master, Jesus Christ, started talking about being betrayed and crucified. And then right there in front of their eyes, they watched him murdered in cold blood. They couldn't believe this was actually happening. Their hope was defeated. Their dreams were destroyed. Their faith was demolished. And I wonder if that's how some of you feel this Easter. You come here to church today discouraged or disappointed. Maybe you're disappointed with friends. You're disappointed with family. Some of you are even disappointed with God. New York Magazine published an article called The Science of Disappointment, and it pointed out that the feeling of being let down is one of life's toughest emotional experiences. There's a lot of things that can happen to cause us to feel that way. Maybe it's a betrayal by a spouse. Maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with you. Maybe something else happens that's somewhat traumatizing. Some of you even feel that God himself has let you down. And this article states, quote, the feeling of disappointment is linked to your levels of dopamine. And dopamine is the brain's pleasure chemical released during positive life experiences. For some people, it's shopping. That's why they call it retail therapy. You know, oh, you get almost an emotional rush. Or maybe something exciting is coming. Maybe it's your birthday and you know it's coming and you're so excited that everybody's going to come to your birthday party and you post it on social media and no one acknowledges it. So you get the double dopamine rush and then you have the double downer afterwards, an actual chemical reaction. And this brings the disappointment. Imagine the disappointment that the disciples felt when Jesus was murdered and taken away from them. But he promised he would rise again from the dead.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
We love hearing stories about how God's Word touches lives.
I've always believed in God, but I guess I never understood or was a skeptic. My life was pretty good, but something inside was telling me that there's more. A stagnant struggle with stress and anxiety. I just started reading the Bible for the first time in 40 years. Life is finally starting to make sense, and my anxiety seems less. I realized my problems were connected to the lack of purpose in my life, but no more. I surrendered my heart to the Lord.
What an encouragement. Has God's Word impacted your life? Would you let us know? Tell us your story by emailing Greg at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, Pastor Greg is helping prepare us for the Easter celebration this weekend. His message today is called The Death of Death. Let's continue.
And so the women went to the tomb together to anoint his dead body. They were not expecting to see a risen Lord. They were expecting to find a dead body to anoint. They all went together. And of course, that's how women roll, right? Women do everything together. Guys, we're mystified by this, how you girls communicate. How 10 girls can be at a table all talking at the same time and you can understand each other. Or how when one girl says, I'm going to go to the restroom, three others go with her. What is that all about? I mean, when a guy goes to a restroom and runs into someone he knows, he's actually embarrassed. Oh, sorry, man. Okay, you can get around each other. And if you're like me, you'll walk out and more than one time, I flip the light of the restroom off as I walked out. I'm a bad person. I just have to tell you that. But girls do things together. They communicate. So these ladies said, let's go anoint his dead body. And they get to the tomb and it's empty. And an angel tells them, you go tell the disciples and Peter, he's risen and he'll meet you in Galilee. So Peter and John come to the tomb. They see that it's empty. And so they're wondering what this is all about. Jesus makes an appearance to Thomas, who had heard that he had appeared earlier and didn't believe it, hence the title for life, Doubting Thomas. But Thomas said, if I can put my hand on the wound in his side or touch the wound in his hand, I'll believe. And Jesus said, here I am, man. Go for it. Thomas says, no, I'm good. My Lord and my God, I believe. And then Jesus appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't know it was Jesus. He was incognito. I don't know how he pulled that off. I don't think it was a Jedi mind trick. It was something he did where they didn't know who he was. And they're walking along and he says, hey guys, loose paraphrase, what's going on? What do you mean what's going on? They said, haven't you heard about Jesus of Nazareth? And he said, no, tell me about him. And so they told Jesus about Jesus. And then he revealed himself a little bit later. I was in a sunglass hut the other day and asking some questions about some sunglasses. And the lady said to me, has anyone ever told you, you sound like Greg Laurie? I said, yes, I've heard that before. I said, and by the way, I've met Greg Laurie. She said, really? I said, he's a total jerk. Which is true, because I turn off the lights in the restroom when I walk out. I said, he's so rude. And you know what? I met him and we got into an argument. It was weird because he has his voice and I have my voice and we sound like the same voice. So we're having an argument in the same voice. She's like, wow. And then I slapped him. You slapped him? I said, no, I'm sorry. I'm Greg Laurie. I'm just messing around. Then she slapped me. She should have. I deserved it. Despite all this, I invited her to church and she still showed up. I was amazed. But Jesus was not rude like that. He revealed who he was to those two disciples. And he said, I'll meet you in Galilee. So we come to that scene now in John 21, where they encounter Jesus at the Sea of Galilee. Verse 3, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said, and they went out into the boat and they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was, and he called out, fellows, do you have any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. And they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple that Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic and jumped into the water and headed to the shore. The other stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore. They were only 100 yards from the shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire with some bread. Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. And Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. And Jesus said, come now and have some breakfast. Isn't this a great scene? I love breakfast. How many of you love breakfast? I love breakfast. My favorite meal of the day, second only to lunch and dinner. No, but seriously, getting up in the morning, the smell of coffee, eggs, bacon, toast, I mean, that's very inviting. Maybe some pancakes too. Well, that'd be a good breakfast, okay? So there were no pancakes here, no bacon for sure. They were kosher. But there was some fish and there was some bread that Jesus himself was making for them on the shore. Here now are takeaway truths from the resurrection of Jesus that apply to you directly. Why Easter matters. Point number one, because of Jesus' resurrection, I will one day receive a new body. Listen, death does not have the final say even over our body. Easter has the final say. This picture of Jesus coming out of the tomb is a preview of things to come because we too will one day be resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, the truth is Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries, but we'll have to wait our turn. Christ is first, and then those with him will rise at his coming. So Jesus rose in a real body, in a real world, in a real way. He spoke with a real voice. This was a real physical bodily resurrection. Number two, because of Jesus' resurrection, our resurrection bodies will be much like his. Our new bodies will be much like his. 1 John 3 says, beloved, now we're the children of God. It's not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. So, okay, what was the resurrection body of Jesus like? Well, it was physical. I already pointed out he bore in his body the marks of the crucifixion. He spoke with a real voice. He made real fish with real hands. So it was a physical body, but at the same time, it did not have the normal limitations that a human body has. He could appear in a room without using the door. But another trait of this resurrection body of Christ is he ate food, which means when we get to heaven and we come back again to the new earth, we're going to eat food. And I'm very thankful for that. How many of you like to eat food? Yes, I do too. You know, some people don't like to eat that much, and I don't understand those people. I look forward to eating. And I know that when we get to glory, we're going to eat together. Matthew 8:11 says, people will come from the east and west and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine sitting down at a table with the great men and women of the Bible? You could turn to Moses and say, buddy, could you pass me the manna? I've always wanted to try that. You could turn to Elijah and say, Elijah, my meat's a little undercooked. Could you give me a little more fire? I've heard you've got that miracle down. Hey, Lot, could you pass the salt? Oh, Lot, you're so sensitive. And imagine asking David what it was like to fight Goliath. Asking Noah what it was like to live in the ark. Ask Moses about parting the Red Sea. Ask John what it was like to receive the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos. Ask Mary what it was like to carry Jesus in her womb and then later carry him in her heart. And not only will you meet these great saints of old, you will be reunited with your loved ones that have preceded you, who have died in faith. Heaven is going to be an incredible reunion. And you're going to know one another. Sometimes the question's asked, will we know one another in heaven? Do you think you're going to be more stupid in heaven than you are on earth? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, we will know fully as we are known. You're going to know more in heaven, not less. And not only that, you're going to learn in heaven. More revelation about God is going to be revealed to you over the passing of time. We're not going to just sit around and sing worship songs. We're going to be serving the Lord. We're going to be working for the Lord. We're going to be learning from the Lord. It's going to be amazing.
Pastor Greg Laurie with glimpses of life everlasting from today's message called The Death of Death. And there's more to come as this study continues here on A New Beginning. But to hear a replay of anything you've missed today, just go online to harvest.org or listen by way of our free Harvest mobile app. Find out more at harvest.org. Well, we're talking with Kathy Laurie. She's our in-studio guest today. It's always a privilege to have you with us here, Kathy.
Well, thank you, Dave.
And we want to talk about a 2-book set for children by our friend Sally Lloyd-Jones, who's also with us. If you would, Kathy, describe how you'll often read to your grandkids and what a truly special time that is for both of you.
It is. It's one of my favorite things to do, and I am so blessed to have incredible, good books to read to them. I'm pretty choosy, but when I have the opportunity and we see the grandkids at least a couple times a week at the house, I always grab a book and say, hey, come on, let's read this together. And it is the greatest joy. And I have to tell you that when I speak about children's books on the top of my shelf, and I cannot just say it in words simply enough, you have to get these books by Sally Lloyd-Jones, and this one in particular, Found and Loved, Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer. I was just speaking with one of the young moms here, and she was saying how the page, Sally, on the Psalm 23, where it says, even when I walk through the dark, scary, lonely places, and the illustrations are amazing. It says, I won't be afraid because my shepherd knows where I am and he is here with me. So you can't imagine how gorgeous the illustrations are, but the words match, and they will take the familiar Psalm 23 and the familiar Lord's Prayer and put them in ways that for an adult, I would suggest you read these devotionally as an adult, as a parent first. They're so beautiful. Thank you so much, Sally, for writing these the way you do.
Wow. Well, thank you. And thank you so much for all the lovely things you said. And it's my great honor to serve children. And that particular picture that you mention, which is hard because we're doing radio, so no one can see the pictures, but they'll just have to use their imaginations, like we say to children. It's very interesting. Even the youngest child will go to that spread, that particular spread, which shows, I'll just describe it. It's a little tiny lamb set in a big landscape with rain and a storm, and the lamb looks scared. And even the tiniest child, they go straight to that. And then they want to go to the next spread, which shows panning out. You see the shepherd running to the little lost lamb. And I think it's because even the smallest child, they know the crux of the matter, and they have serious fears and concerns, even if they're very tiny. And our responsibility is to address them, not try and cover over them. And what better place for them than in the lap of a grandmother or a grandfather or a parent or an aunt or an uncle or a teacher to look at something scary and then go to the next spread and see, but the shepherd's running to him. So the shepherd's there all along. So I love pointing that out because I think we sometimes think we have to protect children. And we do, but we also have to equip them.
So good.
You're listening to Sally Lloyd-Jones, and you can probably understand now why her writings connect to children, And that's why we're so excited to be offering this series of two books in a box set that are called Found and Loved, beautifully illustrated by an artist named Jago. And there's also a special art print that's included. And we're offering this to you for your gift of any size to help us continue in this radio broadcast to teach God's word and to proclaim the gospel.
Yeah, that's right. Your investments help us bring these studies each day. We have no other way to cover the costs of making these programs available other than the donations of listeners. And those resources touch so many lives. In fact, we heard from a listener who said, "Greg, I'm 57. I got saved listening to you on the radio driving to work in downtown L.A. when I was in my 20s. Thank you for your loyalty to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You know, it's the investments of listeners that help us touch lives. And if you can make an investment right now, we'd like to send you this outstanding picture book set from Sally Lloyd-Jones, Found and Loved. Just write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Easter is the most hopeful time of the year, and Pastor Greg Laurie points out the pathway to eternal life.
Jesus Christ came out of an empty tomb to fill our empty hearts.
Who do you know who needs hope this Easter season? Bring them to hear the good news. And Pastor Greg's special music guest, Matt Redman.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
You know, Easter is the perfect opportunity to bring someone to church that does not yet know the Lord. 82% of the unchurched are likely to attend church if a friend, coworker, neighbor, or family member invites them. But here's the big difference this year. We're going to do it all online. That's right. Easter is coming to you, to your house, to your tablet, to your phone, wherever you want to view it. Just go to harvest.org to find out more. Let's work together to reach the largest group of people we have ever been able to make contact with this coming Easter. It's Harvest Easter Online.
Well, next time, more insights on the price Jesus willingly paid at Calvary and how that changed history forever. Join us for our Good Friday program next time on A New Beginning. Well, Pastor Greg, before we close, you know, we're all talking about COVID-19 and the impact it's had on our country.
Yes.
Could we take just a moment before we go and pray? We all need to be taking this crisis to the Lord.
Yes. Let's all pray. Father, I pray right now for anyone who has lost a loved one due to the coronavirus. Lord, I'm asking for your comfort to be extended to them because you are the God of all comfort. And if that person was a believer, we rejoice that we will see him again. And they're not only a part of our past, but they're also a part of our future. Comfort the brokenhearted. I pray for protection for anybody here who's been exposed to the coronavirus. Lord, let them not get sick. And if they are sick, Lord, heal them quickly. Quicken the healing process. And Lord, I pray that you will use this moment in American history to wake up the church, to share the gospel. As Billy Graham did so faithfully in his day, and we would share the gospel with our generation, we pray that you will send a spiritual awakening to America. We're overwhelmed by this pandemic, and we don't know what to do. We're reminded of the story of Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, who was overwhelmed by his enemy, and he said, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you, Lord." And Father, our eyes are upon you now. Intervene. Hear our prayer, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the day when life begins.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.